It's got to be quite a bit later. Than, yeah, how does that do? No, it's not doing it. Huh. 9:55, huh? Well, I do. I don't want to... I'm sensitive about keeping people too long. 9:43, so it's 9:55.
Yeah, so add 12.
Yeah, it's fine. Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's consideration is recorded in the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 13th chapter, verses 44 and following, where we read as follows, in Jesus' name. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. This is our text. Fellow believers in Christ, judging by the titles of movies that have been coming out since the 1940s and 50s, with titles like, The Treasure of the Sierra Madre, Treasure Island, Jewel of the Nile, Romancing the Stone, National Treasure, Pirates of the Caribbean, in the Indiana Jones movies, we are still fascinated by stories of buried treasure and jewels. And in our text here today, Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to a treasure hidden in a field and a pearl of great price. And he challenges you and me to write ourselves into this text, into this divine script about buried treasure and expensive pearls. It's not just a movie. It is our life. We tend to forget how the quest for treasure can obsess us. When you know there's a treasure to be found that might change your life, it can revolutionize or shipwreck your soul, like lottery fever. The question is, which treasure is worth pursuing? In the 1860s, the discovery of gold in northern Minnesota had thousands of people flocking up to International Falls, which is why that particular city was founded, because of the gold rush. But it didn't pan out. They discovered there was gold, but not enough. Notice how the term didn't pan out really comes out of that notion of trying to go and to find gold and oftentimes not finding it. This parable speaks of a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and because of it sold all that he had so that he could buy the field. Treasure in the ancient world of Scripture involved many things. It could involve things like spices. You may know that today, if you want to go and make paella and you want to put a little saffron in, the price of saffron is about equal to the price of gold, very expensive. So sometimes that was treasure. It could be money, gold, jewels, silver, spices. It could be vessels. Today you hear advertisements about going and buying gold or buying silver, because when the market crashes and all your paper is just that paper, you'll have something of what? Lasting value that you can go and use. Now we can understand why the ancients buried treasure, because they had frequent wars. They had frequent turnovers in those who were the rulers. But then someone could die after they had buried that treasure in a field, and all trace of the buried treasure lost. And then one day someone found it, that hidden treasure. If you knew it was in the field, wouldn't you sell everything to go and buy a field that had that kind of treasure in it, that would give you so much more than you had? We're probably unfamiliar with the Minnesota gold rush, probably even more unfamiliar with the Upper Mississippi pearl rush that obsessed merchants more than a century ago. The earliest explorers in this country back in the 17th century had noticed that Native Americans were wearing pearls, freshwater pearls. And then they discovered that every river in America that had mussels in them could have the potential for pearls. And so back in the 1800s, people began to flock up to the upper Mississippi searching for pearls along the beds of the Mississippi River, and they found thousands of them. You can still go and buy them at Lake Pepin. Thousands of pearls, and they nearly wiped out all of the mussel beds as a result of it. This is what makes the story interesting, because in the early 20th century, pearl necklaces were worth as much as a Rembrandt or a master's painting. And as time has gone by, and many of those pearl beds around, both in the ocean and the fresh bed pearls, have literally dried up so that they're very rare, that has created, once again, a market for necklaces that now sell for millions, multiple millions of dollars at auctions, thus creating new pearl merchants, just like the one in our text, looking for the pearl of great price to exist. Are you one of them? What's this parable really about? Not buried treasure or expensive pearls, but about each one of us realizing that the world is filled with treasures, and only one treasure lasts. We have been granted faith in the treasures of God's kingdom, the pearl of great price in Jesus. It is clear that the field referred to in Jesus' parable is the Scriptures, which testifies to the pearl of great price, to Jesus Christ. How sad it would be for some of us to give up this treasure, which you've been given by grace through faith, for some other treasure in this life that doesn't last. Fame, fortune, power, pleasure, they are all very compelling treasures. What we sinners need, however, is a treasure that none of these things can give. The thing that only Christ, only God can give us: redemption, salvation from sin, death, and the devil. What we need are righteousness, pardon. We need forgiveness for our sins, for the sins that even now perhaps plague you, that remind you that you did in fact sin against God. But it is in Christ that we find salvation. These are the real treasures that God grants us as members of his church: the kingdom of heaven through faith in his Son. There's a story told, and this is a story that was recorded in the ancient historians, that whether or not it's true, it's debated. But Cleopatra, in her desire to go and to show Antony, her suitor, how much money she had, at one sumptuous banquet, took off one of her pearl earrings valued at many, many dollars, and she put it into her drink, dissolved it, and drank it. And she apparently won the contest that was on with that gesture. That was perhaps the first margarita that was created, because the word in the Greek here in our text is margarita. What some may be enchanted about with respect to current choices for president, and aren't many of us, as Christians, we live in a divine monarchy, a treasure kingdom, where we have a perfect king who is always truthful, always holy, and there to continually forgive us all of our sins. What is this kingdom of God we are members of? And I think that Luther has said it in such a profound way whenever we wonder, what is this kingdom? Namely, that God sent his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, into the world to redeem us and set us free from the power of the devil, and to bring us to himself and rule over us as a kind of righteousness, life, and salvation in defiance of sin, death, and an evil conscience, that he also gave us his Holy Spirit in order to bring these truths home to us through his holy word, and to enlighten us and strengthen us in us by his power. The rush is still on, isn't it, in our world to find the kingdom of happiness. And no earthly treasures in this life will pan out. There's only one, Christ. There's probably time for this one last story, which I think is appropriate. I can remember years ago my parents telling me how they lived in one of the most exotic places when they got first married, but they could afford it for only 1 year. It was a fairly old architecture in La Crosse. And so they ended up moving out after 1 year. But then later on, they sent me a copy of a newspaper article about how some people had bought it, and then they began to dig out the basement, and they found a buried treasure. It was $20 gold pieces, who is worth up into the six-digit figures. There it was, all those years, right underneath the place that they were living. And isn't that the way it is today? There are no treasures out there that we need seek, but the one that we already have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to you in the gospel. The greatest treasure, the pearl of great price, this is what we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Pearl necklaces are wonderful, but that cross or crucifix necklace that you wear reminds us of the priceless gift of salvation in His Son. Amen. Let us rise and pray. Almighty and everlasting God, by your Holy Spirit, you have revealed to us the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. We beseech you so to enliven our hearts that we may sincerely receive your word and not make light of it or hear it without fruit, but that we may fear you and daily grow in faith in your mercy and finally obtain a salvation, eternal salvation, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Depart in peace. Amen.